in just a few minutes. Hopefully we will be talking to a tree sitter at UCSC. While we wait for that call to come in, let's listen to a little bit of the Grateful Dead. Hello.
Hey, Dennis. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm speaking with Owl.
Oh, yep.
And hope things are going well for listeners here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Owl is currently up a tree at the UCSC Science Hill. So how are things going up there, Owl?
They're going well. Weather's been really nice the last couple weeks. Had a little bit of rain last night like everybody, but the heat's off. As far as we can tell, we're a little concerned about the possibility of an injunction leading to an eviction attempt, but the preliminary injunction that was issued gave the regents no such authority, and we haven't seen any crackdown or any noticeable change in the police presence here. So,
well, why don't we back up just a little bit and talk about why is there a tree sit on Science Hill anyway?
Well, the University of California, Santa Cruz, and the statewide UC regents that are appointed by the governor to run the university system have come up with the long-range development plan for this campus, dating back to, I think, 2005, and sort of steamrolled over all opposition. There's no voice for environmental concerns or for student concerns, community concerns, and they plan to put here in this location on Science Hill, a six-story biomedical research facility housing vivisection labs and who knows what else. And beyond that, they want to, over the next few years, develop Upper Campus, which is currently a few dirt firebreak roads and mostly mixed forests of chaparral, Douglas fir, redwood trees, oaks, madrones, habitat to countless species. They want to basically pave that from North Remote Parking all the way to Cave Gulch.
That seems like an awful lot of development. And along with that development goes the students to fill those buildings and all that kind of stuff. And that's all led to a lawsuit by the city and the county of Santa Cruz. So
They're expecting, or they're planning, for 4,500 additional students on top of the 20,000 that already are enrolled here. And the city's lawsuits that are pending, I think, refer to the traffic impacts and the sewage and so forth. What we're addressing here primarily is the environmental impact, which has sort of been glossed over. We're not leaving until the plan's abandoned.
Well, the tree sit's been there a while.
For 4 months.
All right. And can you tell us a little bit about how the tree sit went up and what kind of actions went on over the winter?
I was not here the first day of the tree sit, but I've got a pretty detailed account of it. The tree sit was put up in the early hours of November 7th, and later that morning, during business hours, I guess you'd say, campus police discovered it and tried to contain it, tried to stop it in its tracks, nip it in the bud, so to speak, by putting up fencing and detaining some of the people who were bringing supplies to it. That was sort of a standoff that was broken by students from a nearby rally that was held to address the whole long-range development plan. Speakers at the rally notified the crowd that a tree sit had been erected and was under police interference. And so hundreds of students, I think 500, marched a short way across campus and tore down the barricades and reopened the path for activists to bring the rest of the tree sit supplies up to the tree sit, and were met with batons and pepper spray. But the police were overmatched, and despite using batons and pepper spray, the police retreated. And the students occupied the parking lot for the next month and a half up until their winter break. The tree sit has flourished subsequently for over 4 months, from November 7th to whatever it is now, March 13th.
March 13th. So you're past your four-month anniversary there. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on down below the trees? Has there been teach-ins and various kinds of pamphleting activities? Are those still going on?
No, that pretty much subsided. As I said, when the students left for winter break, the autonomous zone that had developed for, following the November 7th riot gave way to sort of a more covert resupply system, and in fact, over the break, the regents and their police minions cracked down on anyone trying to support the tree sit. A professor was arrested trying to bring hot soup. Other activists were tackled to the ground, pepper sprayed, and arrested, a couple of them, one of them over the break. And that led to a faculty backlash and the creation of a group called Friends of Fauna and Flora that is raising money for legal defense and putting pressure on the university to ease up on their repressive tactics.
Well, we read in news stories today that the judge on Monday who issued an injunction for the university also released two people from that injunction, saying that they were wrongly included in the injunction because they were merely exercising their free speech rights. So that sort of looks like a positive an aspect to it.
It does. I think our impression of the injunction, it's not entirely positive. There's still some things that need to be, that remain to be seen what the real impact of them are. But the fact that none of the tree sitters were named and that an eviction order was not approved or given, I think the university is in over their head, and it is essentially their attempt to repress free speech. And the judge recognized that this is an expression of political speech.
Well, there is another tree sit going on, and that one is taking place up in Berkeley in a grove of oak trees. Mm-hmm. Recently, a police action was undertaken to try and remove tree sitters from that tree sit, and that ended in failure when the tree sitter merely climbed a little farther up the tree.
Right. That's actually a new tree sit that sprung up in solidarity with the first one in Berkeley. The initial tree sit in Berkeley was, again, political free speech, protesting the university's plan there to build a sports complex. The new one, which is occupied by a tree sitter named Fresh, is directed solely or primarily at the police brutality and the tactics being used by the UC Regents. So he came under fire immediately. He's only been up, I think, a week and a half or 2 weeks, and he's already, like you said, yesterday or the day before, he had to climb to the top of his oak tree to evade capture. We're really glad he did, and I just heard from someone came by from Berkeley and said he's still doing well up there. So,
well, that's good. You mentioned a group, Friends of Flora and Fauna.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that they're raising funds to support legal actions. Do we know how to get in touch with these folks?
I don't have the flora and fauna information right at hand, but I do have the Long Range Resistance website that I can give to people, and I'm sure that that information is posted there. And okay. Also ways for people to donate money or supplies to our campaign, not just to legal defense. Hopefully, if we do this right, we're not going to need much legal support help. We're just going to get the job done. But our website is lrdpresistance.org, and that's got all the details on the university's bad plan and lots of details on how to help us.
All right. You say us. Is there more than one tree sit going on at this time?
We have four platforms, and I was only able to get one of the Ewoks to come join me tonight. The others, this is past their bedtime, but I've got a comrade Stitches sitting next to me here, and he can take the phone and answer some questions. I believe he has probably first-hand information about that November 7th situation.
All right, let's talk to Stitches.
Well, here you go.
Hello.
Hello, Stitches. This is Uncle Dennis on Earth First Special here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Owl says that you are around on November 7th. Can you fill us in a little bit on how this tree sit started?
Yeah, like my buddy Owl said, it started out, November 7th, and there was an adjacent rally over in Quarry Plaza, which wasn't singularly about the LRDP. There are a lot of different issues being brought up, like the nuclear program that's affiliated with the UC and other stuff. And the keynote speakers of that rally let it be known that there were tree sitters up here and that they were in need of food. So we rallied and marched. There was about 500 of us marched here. And we kind of just circled around. They had the entire parking lot fenced off, and we just circled around it and kind of just like knocked it over and started like kind of stepping, inching our way towards the trees. And that's when the UC police opened up a pepper spray, and they just kind of like fueled the fire, and that's when everybody just kind of like started pushing forward. And then a few like individual activists like broke forth trying to get supplies of the trees, and they were tackled, detained, and basically, it went on like this for like an hour. It was just like a little bit of inching forward up until we got to the trees. And, you know, I guess the police realized that it's not okay to like mace and beat up students. So they just kind of stepped back and just formed a line. And then after a while, they just left. And we were here for about 2 months just kind of defending the ground. We opened it up as an autonomous zone for activism. We had all sorts of events here, like potlucks, we had meetings, we had a couple free school classes, a bunch of teach-ins, and it was just like a great place for people to just like come in, get connected, like talk with other people about it. Like for me, like that was one of the biggest positive things about it, was just like the great conversations that stemmed from it. And the fact that it was in the center of campus, you know, it was just like, it was perfect planning.
Well, great. Is this your first tree sit, or are you a veteran?
I'd say this tree sit broke my tree sitting cherries. Yeah, but
okay. So you're from the local campus community, and
yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
Love. We're still up here, and we're going to stay.
All right, and well, thank you very much. Why don't you pass the phone back to Owl? And,
all right, man. Have a good night.
Hey, thank you, Stitches. Bye-bye. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm Uncle Dennis on a Earth First special, and we're speaking to an owl in the trees up at the UCSC Science Hill. You mind if we open up the phone lines?
No, I'd love to talk to anybody.
All right. Okay. So 427-3772 is the phone number to call in here to talk to an owl in the trees. If you'd like to find out what's going up on campus, we do have a direct line to the Science Hill tonight here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Once again, the number 427-3772, and while we're waiting for a call to come in. What's gonna be happening in the near future? Here we've got a call. All right.
What's that?
Hello, caller. You're online with Uncle Dennis and Owl in the tree.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to respond to one thing that Owl said, which was that the lawsuits weren't addressing the environmental issues, and I'm not sure about the city's lawsuit, but the group Clue most definitely did assert all the environmental issues. It's just the judge didn't find for Clue on the environmental issues. He only found on water traffic and housing. So, but those other issues will probably be appealed. I wanted to make that clear. And I was also kind of curious about, as Owl mentioned earlier, the you know, the tree sits in the center of campus, yet the long-range development plan has plans to develop all upper campus, and I'm wondering, I know there are some other issues like the biomedical research itself and the research on animals, but in terms of if the campus does grow, don't you think it would be better to grow in the campus core than to grow to, you know, demolish the upper campus?
Yeah, I think you're probably accurate about the legal aspect and that environmental issues were raised and then not taken up by the judge. But I think both things are wrong. I think it's wrong for them to cut the trees down here in the parking lot on Science Hill for a biomedical research facility, and it's certainly wrong, and it's something that the long-range development, long-range resistance is going to oppose by whatever means necessary, non-violently. In the next phase of our resistance. But I don't think that they can pack 4,500 students into the infill projects. This infill project, as they call it here in parking lot 121, is just the first wave of the next round of developments, and so we're meeting them head on here.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. Like, I totally support you in your efforts. I'm just wondering if it's sort of sending for people who maybe aren't as educated on the growth plans as you are, if it sort of sounds a little incongruous, where, you know, the majority of the growth, basically their plan is to develop another loop that's as large as the current campus core, because they're talking about a 4,500 increase in students, but in terms of square footage of building, it's going to be more like a 50% increase, and it would basically be as large as the current campus core. There'd be another loop built up north. So I'm wondering if, you know, how you are able to get that message across where people might think that because you're opposing an infill project, I'm just wondering about that perception.
No, that's a good point. I've tried in my dealings with the media and all our literature and some of the signage that we've hung up here, the banners and so forth, to join the two, to make clear that we're out to save upper campus while trying to oppose this project too. I think it was a strategic choice to start here. It's very visible, and a tree sit right now in upper campus would sort of be off the radar, except to the bicyclists and hikers who enjoy it up there.
Mm-hmm.
I see your point, but that is the truth. The loop they want to build in upper campus, as I said before, is they're going to pave from the North Remote parking all the way to Cave Gulch. All those dirt paths, those fire break roads.
It'll go up past the those four water tanks that are all graffitied over. It'll go past there.
Exactly.
And when I was, the other question I have is, you know, you described the history of the rally on November 7th, but I was actually very active in opposing the LRDP before it was approved by the Regents. And I'm an alum. I'm not a current student, but I use the upper campus lot. I mountain bike, and I was really active, and I'd be up there by the water tanks, and I'd hand out flyers, and I went to the public hearings, and I made comments, and it was really, there were very, very few current students, or students who were students at the time, who participated at all, and I'm just wondering, kind of, historically, what got the students interested now, after the fact, after the after the LRDP was already approved?
I think it's the efforts of the long-range resistance to publicize it, and also the attention that the tree sit got and the subsequent rally and police riot. It is difficult to engage the students. They're only here for, you know, 4 or 5 years. They come not just from the local area with a deep appreciation the way local residents might have of the area, but, you know, some of them come from places that don't have the forests here that we've got and may not understand the fragility of it. I think it's good that they're coming around. I think that's building. But that's it's sort of an inherent weakness of the student political energy here.
So I guess my last question was just what I understand the LRDP resistance was behind this, but what got LRDP, I mean, my understanding is that there are a lot of students in that LRDP resistance. And what, can you talk about the history of that, like that organization, how, like I said, I was trying to drum up interest in students and you know, I was handing out flyers and I was up at the water tanks and, sure. And then how did LRDP resistance form and get active after the fact? You know, after the fact of the LRDP getting approved.
I think it was probably, I don't know exactly, but I would guess that it was concerned activists like yourself who were demoralized by the passage of the LRDP and were looking for ways to broaden the resistance, opposition to it, and recognize the fact that now that the LRDP was a real document and a real plan, so to speak, that it needed to be fought, and using the fact of the LRDP itself to fight that.
Well, caller, I'm going to let you go and see if anyone else wants to call in. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And the phone line is open at 427-3772 if you'd like to talk to an owl in the tree. We just have a few more minutes here on an Earth First special here, speaking to the Science Hill tree sitters up at UCSC campus. Once again, that number, 427-3772. Give us a call and you can speak with a tree sitter. I suppose you folks have some needs, and well, we got another caller. Let's go right to that call.
Right on.
Hello, you're talking to Owl and Uncle Dennis on about the tree sit at UCSC.
Yeah, I want to thank you for your good work up there, Owl, and it's much appreciated.
Oh, I recognize this voice.
Is that a good thing?
Go right ahead.
You know, it seems like if there's ever anything that shouldn't have to be explained to somebody environmentally, it's why you would not want to screw up a wild land redwood forest. It's got to be the ultimate no-brainer. But yeah. Here's the deal. As long as the population keeps growing, it's going to be screwed up. So I came to terms with that a long time ago. If we don't stop population growth, everything else is, we're just buying time and not very much of it. So population, birth control is the deal. If birth rates equal death rates and immigration equals emigration, we'll have a stable population. Until then, I admire what you're doing, but population growth is going to run over every damn thing we try to do. So I hope I can say that constructively, because that's the way I mean it. Good luck, Owl, and I really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Right on. Thanks.
Thank you, caller.
Population control thing, but I would say UC system is a big system, and UCSC is a popular school. It's popular among high school students applying to college because it's so beautiful. It's here in the Redwoods. You can't keep a beautiful place beautiful and build a school big enough to hold everybody who would come here.
Well, that's one of the things that CLU has been talking about. UCSA really shouldn't grow anymore, and there's a lot of us who are graduates. Myself graduated from UCSC in 1982, and frankly, that was a different school back then. It was much more of a liberal arts college with a number of small liberal arts school with a number of small colleges within it.
Right.
And it's certainly not anymore. It's really more focused now on science and sort of the economic benefits of a college education. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the school I went to. We've got another caller here. Hello, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz talking to Owl in the Redwood Trees.
I wanted to echo your previous caller's appreciation for Owl's work up there. I can't imagine the sacrifice it's taken to do that, so I really do appreciate the work. But I also wanted to differ on one topic, in that while I agree that population is something we have to key on, I don't think that is the issue. I think the issue is greed. UCSC is running a business, and they're trying to make more money, period.
I think that comes down to what Dennis was saying.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. This drive for this particular infill project, they're talking about expanding for undergraduate students, but this project is solely for graduate students, and it's funded by pharmaceutical corporations, and it's driven by greed and the ego validation of prestigious research being done for corporate profit. It has nothing to do with the sort of quality education that Dennis enjoyed when he was a student here, and that people have historically associated with UCSC. It's a radical departure from that, and it underscores why this is a necessary stand to take. But thanks for your support.
All right.
Thank you, caller.
Way to go. Bye.
All right, our phone lines are once again open at 427-3772 if you'd like to speak with an owl in the trees. We just have a couple of more minutes before we're going to wrap it up here. Owl, anything you need, let's talk about what the tree sitters need right now.
We're doing pretty well in terms of basic needs, our food, water, so forth. We can always use new Ewoks. I think if you tap into the website, lrdpresistance.org, you can find your way into the group that way. People are welcome to come by and wave, offer support, throw goodies into our cargo bags, and we'll haul them up. You know, anything from granola to chocolate.
Chocolate's always a favorite of tree sitters, I hear.
Let's get in a tree. Think if you were going camping and what you might want to have on a camping trip. We're basically on an extended camping trip. I've been up here about, it'll be 7 weeks tomorrow.
Well, great. Good to hear that you're doing well up there, and hopefully the weather's going to improve. Once again, that webpage, lrdpresistance.org. And I think at this point we'll say goodbye to Owl in the Trees and invite you back on another show, perhaps.
You bet, Dennis. Thank you so much for having us
on.
You're welcome.
All right, much love and peace out to everybody.
Thank you very much, Owl.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. We've been speaking with an owl in the redwood trees up at UCSC. I've apparently been up there about 7 weeks and protesting and preventing development as part of the long-range development plan at UCSC. This has been an Earth First special from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz.